What's it mean to walk like a man, to talk like a man? What's it mean to be a man? Well, that definition is up for grabs. A recent Pew Research study found that the amount of time men help out with housework and childcare has doubled since 1965, and at the same time, women's participation in the workforce has almost tripled. With second and third wave feminism, people have talked about the changing idea of women's roles for a long time. But what about men's roles? How has the definition of masculinity or what it means to be a man changed or is changing? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. What does a random collection of people at Pike Place Market think? Well, Radioactive high school producers Rachel Lam, Shrikar Penomaka, Carlos Nieta, Kendra Hanna, Ian Dongla, Amina Ibrahim, Isaac Noren, and Madeline Eubank went to find out.
I think it would be hard to understand what it would mean to be a man, considering I'm not one.
XY, ma'am. XY.
Muscles. A hairy chest. Someone who's brave and kind.
Masculine, a little bit of power.
Boys normally act a little bit more sporty than girls.
Integrity and strength.
The master of your domain. That's from Seinfeld.
Being a man is knowing that it's not your ego that matters, but the ones you care about.
Someone who is responsible, kind, caring, gentle.
Probably being a gentleman. I mean, I feel like a lot of men these days don't even know how to open up doors or, you know, even offer their coats to a girl when she's cold. So I think a gentleman is what a real man is.
To be a real man is to be there for their children through all phases of their child's life.
Well, to raise a family and live a good life and obey all the laws and be a good citizen.
I think it's one thing to call yourself a man just because of your gender, but I think it's another thing to call yourself a man because of how you view the world and how you want to help other people. And so when it comes to seeing the needs of other people, I think I've always wanted to try and be there to help them. And as a result, I consider myself a man, I guess.
To hear more stories from our Radioactive producers, go to KUOW.com/radioactive. But what about this question? What does it mean for you to be a man? Is it muscles? Is it being a gentleman holding the door? Is it being there for children? 800-289-5869 or call us at 206-543-5869. You can write to conversation at KUOW.org. With me, Dave Allen, former chair of the Gender and Sexuality Studies at UW. He used to teach classes on masculinity, and you were telling me this was to kind of get men interested in studying gender and sexuality studies. So how did that go? How did that class go? It was a class on masculinity, so you had to come to some definition or talk about it in some way that people could understand.
Well, it went great. And one of the things that we learned, as reflected in your comments, is there's such a range of definitions out there. And masculinity really is a set of definitions that we apply to people's bodies and their behavior. So most of the class was discussions about different understandings of masculinity that people grew up with. They carried them into their young adult lives in most cases, in that case. And also how definitions of masculinity has influenced both people who identified as men or masculine and people who identified as feminine, people who had male bodies or didn't have male bodies. So it showed the great sort of variability on the one hand. And on the other, I think there's a significant amount of, I sort of call it a kind of cultural sadness about the fact that the box that young boys in particular are being forced into to be seen as and see themselves as significantly masculine is getting smaller and smaller. So there's been more and more sort of regulation and disciplining and huge marketing around boys' bodies that's just increased in way and intensity since I was young.
Could you expand on that? Why is the box getting smaller for boys?
Well, I think there's a whole host of reasons about why, but one of the places you see it is in the rising presence of bullying. And masculinity is a status project. And in a world where you have the perception of shrinking opportunities or zero-sum games, then the masculinity competition hypes up. And boys are competing for what they see as scarce resources. I saw a videotape recently of a young man who said that every boy he makes cry is one less boy he has to think about worrying about competing against for college or for job markets in the future. So for him, it's a very clear, self-interested advancement project.
Of course, it's not just boys who bully. Does that same thing apply for girls who bully, that they are somehow putting themselves in a smaller box by defining themselves as defeating the other?
Well, as your guest said yesterday, there is a set of restraints and competitions around femininity. But the problem is, as soon as you mention something around masculinity, people want to say, well, don't girls do that too, or isn't that true for women? And they're not parallel categories. Masculinity is a site of privilege. It's one of the reasons that people fight over it. Gay bashing is a process of trying to exclude certain people from the category of masculinity. And, of course, the category of masculinity, as President Obama was talking about the other day, is a deeply racialized one. So the white masculinity that I inherited from my parents positions me in ways I didn't even have to think about competing against black men or Latino boys when I was growing up.
We're talking about what it means to be a man. What does masculinity mean? Dave Allen, former chair of the Gender and Sexuality Studies Department at the University of Washington, is with us. He taught classes in masculinity. Now, traditionally, men have been the breadwinner. It's noteworthy, it's newsworthy when women are more, a higher percentage of women are the breadwinners, because it's kind of a turn from the way we've been in the past. And it's been noted that the recession that we're finally crawling out of may have had a big impact on men and their ability to hold jobs and to be the breadwinners. How has that played into how we view men and masculinity today?
Well, it's huge. The as you point out, the historic association between masculinity and economic dominance has been there really since the founding of the country. The original constitution was specifying essentially property holders were the only people who could be citizens, and property was wealth. So the relationship between income, earning power, and masculinity has been varied over periods, but it's been a significant struggle for a long time. And many people, even before this recession, were pointing out that as we shifted to an export consumption economy over a manufacturing economy, that in itself, apart from any recession, moved huge groups of men into lower earning capacity. And that's one of the things that shifted large numbers of women back into the market. And of course, I need to point out that the assumption that it has been primarily men as breadwinners is really also a sort of a classed and race analysis.
That's not really true.
Black women have been supporting households for generations. So it just varies depending on the sort of group of men you're looking at. But I will say, I think for most men, and you could hear some in your conversations down in the market, most men see the capacity to earn a decent amount of money, however you define that, as something that you're supposed to be able to do as a man.
Let's add into the conversation Thomas Page McBee. Thomas is a columnist for The Rumpus and Vice and has a unique perspective to bring to this topic today about what does it mean to be a man, what does it mean to be masculine. Thomas, you write regularly about gender and transgender issues, and you've spoken about your own transition from female to male. So how did your idea of manliness change when you went through that transition?
Sure. Hi, Ross. Hi, David. Nice to be here. You know, for me, actually, masculinity was a gender expression that I had prior to my transition. And the main way it changed is just that I was able to express it through my body in a way that felt more right to me. But I think what's interesting is that though my gender sort of stayed the same in a lot of ways, that the social expectations I faced really shifted and in a lot of ways became more problematic for me. And I realized how much of masculinity was about policing male bodies and men policing other men. So I got really interested in that question of what makes a man, because I was facing it myself. And sort of at the same time, it seemed like a lot of people, because of all of these reasons David was outlining, were asking that question simultaneously. And so I posed that question a lot in my writing.
So you were telling us that when you changed from being perceived as a female to being perceived as a male, you got less hugs.
Yeah, I did. I got touched a lot less, just physically in space by other people. I got given a lot more space, which, you know, of course, is on one hand, you know, a privilege, but on the other hand, was kind of a strange thing. And I noticed that my relationships with women, you know, changed a lot too, especially women who I didn't know. So Yeah, I mean, there was it was kind of like a million tiny paper cuts of change, sort of. And not to get me wrong, I mean, I love being a man. Obviously, I went through a lot of trouble to become one, but it was interesting to have all those shifts made visible in a really clear way.
You know, This American Life recently had their 500th episode, and they talked about the most memorable moments from previous episodes. And one involved an interview with someone who transitioned from female to male. And he talked about how as the different hormones and drugs began to kick in, he all of a sudden started to look at people in vividly sexual ways that he had not done previously. And I got to ask you, is that something that you experienced?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up because I kind of hate that for that reason. I didn't experience that at all. And, I think obviously my sexuality changed and I experienced the world differently, but I certainly wasn't walking down the street and having pornographic images, I think is what he said.
Yes.
about women flashing through my mind. That was not my experience. No.
Okay, so now we have heard another version of this from someone else. You recently wrote in The Atlantic that the idea of manliness is changing the U.S. culture, and I thought that's a really interesting observation to have because frequently think of U.S. culture changing the idea of manliness. You say it's going the opposite direction?
Well, I just was really interested, again, in, you know, I had this sort of light bulb moment of realizing I was writing about gender and people seemed really interested in what I had to say. And part of that is because what I was asking was an intersectional question that a lot of people seem to be asking. So I think looking at the ways, you know, the workforce was shifting, there was sort of the proclamation of the end of men, and then there's the new man, and there's the stay-at-home dads. It just feels like what we're really asking, and I think this is a result of privilege, actually, instead of saying what makes a man, I think a lot of men are saying, why do I have to do this in this way? So why do I have to be the breadwinner? Why does everything have to happen in one particular set of social roles? And I think that's a privilege because women, of course, when they ask, you know, why these things have to happen, they're usually in a marginalized position. And we're not. We're in a privileged position. But still asking the question makes gender visible. And I think that's really exciting because I think that's going to create that's starting to create a cultural shift where people are realizing that though gender, of course, is important, it doesn't have to be the only defining value of what kind of person you are in the world.
Thomas, you've also written about some ad campaigns targeting men's roles in rape as well as teen pregnancy. And there's one in Chicago. It's pretty controversial. It shows teen boys with pregnant bellies. What do these campaigns say about the idea of masculinity?
I'm only slightly familiar with that campaign specifically, and I actually know that's caused a lot of ire in the trans community, actually, because trans men, you know, some trans men do get pregnant, so the idea that would be impossible is actually kind of frustrating to some people as a way to sort of face that issue. But I think that the idea of looking, you know, making men be responsible for their own behavior and certainly as bystanders to things like sexual harassment, looking at the idea of healthy masculinity versus toxic masculinity, which I know a group called Men Can Stop Rape, which are they're just a great organization who've done a lot of work with men around defining masculinity in ways that are healthy and not sexist, basically, that those sorts of campaigns are getting a lot of traction and are part of this conversation and sort of changing the way men look at themselves because we all know that, you know, sexism hurts women, but having a sexist attitude really hurts men, too. It's part of what keeps people in these little boxes that David was mentioning. So,
Thomas Page McBee, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Yeah, thank you.
You can read Thomas in Rumpus and Vice. And with us in the studio, David Allen, former chair of the Gender and Sexuality Studies at the University of Washington. What do we gain by asking the question, what does it mean to be a man? Or do you think we can even answer that in a complete way? I would guess you would say probably not. But what do we get out of asking it?
Well, I think there's a lot of things to be gained by asking it. I think the question of whether we can answer it is probably probably where the answer is no. But it is, and I think as Thomas was saying, it enables you to see that the world can be other than it is, that you're not as kind of hyper-determined, that your biology doesn't destine you to certain kinds of roles in the world. And I think the trans movement and community has really helped emphasize the fact that masculinity is sort of a continuum. But at the same time, I want to be careful about being sort of overly voluntaristic about this. You know that we
What does that mean, overly voluntaristic?
Well, that we can just all of a sudden wake up one morning and decide I'm going to be a different kind of a man, because the ideas that we have about masculinity are socially inherited, and there's a huge regulatory mechanism, advertising, economics, job hiring, who can get which kinds of loans. I mean, there's an enormous amount of pressure to sort of contain those choices. So I think it's both really important to have the conversation and make the fact they are choices visible on the one hand, and on the other hand, let's not be too optimistic about the extent to which we can just wake up one morning and decide to change our lives.
Well, how conscious are men even of how much their masculinity is kind of driving their behavior? They mean, they may just think I'm doing this because this is the way I am. I mean, it's almost like looking around the corner at something that might be in the background that you don't. I don't think many people get up in the morning and say, how am I going to be a man today? But obviously something about that in them influences what they do during the course of the day. How do you see around the corner?
Well, I think in part by doing the kinds of things that we've been talking about, which is seeing that there are different communities that do masculinity differently by looking historically. I mean, one of the more fascinating studies in the U.S. is look at the different ways in which the figure of Jesus has been shaped by American masculinity. When I was coming of age, he was sort of a young hippie. At the turn of the century, he was being recruited into notions of masculinity as macho. And now in some evangelical churches, that's coming back. So they're inviting Jesus to have men be more machismo. So you can see historically that shifts. You can look in different communities. You can talk to people with a kind of a conversation, again, that Barack Obama, you know, or Thomas on the program was trying to say, that there are different communities that do masculinity differently. Those masculinities have different economic and social privileges attached to them. And we can work to make it a more just and health-sustaining world by refiguring masculinity.
Wow, we've just scratched the surface and our time is up. Thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
David Allen with us in the studio, former chair of the Gender and Sexuality Studies at the University of Washington. If you have further thoughts, share them at our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation. David Hyde produces our show with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Allie Ferguson, and Bernard Ouellette is our engineer from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds. Now I'm a man. I'm a man. I spell M.